Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
I gave you fair warning, beware, beware, beware.
Radio. We are now officially in episode number. You know what? It really doesn't matter what episode it is. We're officially a show. We don't have to count anymore.
We actually are a show. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. And for that, we got to start the show as we always do with our weekly toast. This weekend, if they're going, well, not this weekend, today, they're going to the studio bar. We made a little change because they didn't update the tequila stash at all. So, Anthony, what are we going in with today, man?
Well, we are going with a liqueur that I enjoy quite a bit. It's a Jack Daniel's liquor. It is Red Stag. I think it's officially endorsed by Kid Rock, but don't let that deter you. It is basically black cherry whiskey, and it is delicious.
It does smell wonderful, so let's go ahead and toast that up.
Shoot it up.
Shoot it up.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good, right?
Yes.
You put that in some soda. You got yourself a drink.
That sounds like it'd be really good with, like, a Coke.
Yeah. Me and my boys called it. We coined the drink. It is called a Red Badge of Courage. And as I was telling you earlier, we like to go places and order a Red Badge of Courage. And when they say, what's that, we act like they're an idiot for not knowing what it is.
Well, do you explain it to them, and then afterwards they look at you like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, I mean, I just called it something else.
No one's actually lied about knowing what it is, but we always do tell them what it is, and then we'll order it again.
Well, should we make it an official Faces for Radio drink? I mean, should we put it on the Facebook page, the Red Badge of Courage?
We have a Facebook page.
We now have a Facebook page. We're going to get to that a little later.
Yeah.
But we do have one. Should we go ahead and put that up?
Yeah, I think what you said earlier was what you wanted to like all the liquors that we drink and actually like, right?
Yeah, and that was pretty smooth stuff.
Well, that was my favorite, so we definitely can like it if you're okay with it, buddy.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and post up that we had the toast of the day was to the Jack Daniel's Red Stag. And that's going up right now. This is the first live post for the Faces for Radio. This is historical. This one action, when I hit this enter button, could start a chain reaction, a butterfly effect, if you will, to change the course of internet radio. It really could. I'm excited.
Yeah. If you want to call into the show, the number is 855-862-7234. We're going to be talking about some interesting stuff tonight, but I think first we're going to talk about, because it just annoys the hell out of me, Gartiz, the amount of crap we have to do in addition to this show. And what I mean by that is, like, Facebook, Twitter. I feel like we're in like a 1980s futuristic movie where we're sitting in front of a board of like 20 screens.
Well, I mean, aside from just coming on and talking on the radio, which is a challenge in itself, because it seems like every week we plan to get this show organized, and right around 5:25, we realize that we have no idea what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, we realize that, you know, I know social media really isn't my thing. Not that I'm too old for it or I'm out of touch. I'm very aware of what it is. I just don't really care for it. It's just not my thing. I'm not that interested in what people have to say or what they're doing or what they're eating or what their kids said or whatever. And I think you kind of feel the same way I do about this. But truthfully, man, if we want to change the face of radio, we got to get into it. Like, we got to get involved. There's no way around it.
Yeah. I agree with you that we need to do it, but I absolutely hate every second of it. I hate saying follow us on this, like us on that. It's rough, man. I just don't like it at all.
You know, as long as they like us in their hearts, I think I think I'd be satisfied. But apparently liking us on Twitter, or no, I'm sorry, liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter would actually help things for the show and help keep the show up and running. And I really think the Faces for Radio Nation really can be something that's just waiting to be exposed.
Well, and I might get us in a little bit of trouble here by the network, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think it's a crime that we only get 1 hour a week. I mean, it's not fair. Like, we should get more time. And it's not even like an hour, because we got to play commercials, and we have to do music intros, and we have to listen to callers who, you know, I don't like.
But you know what, man? The callers haven't been bad. And now that we actually gave out the accurate number, maybe we'll get a wider variety of callers. Speaking of callers, I would love nothing more than to have a female caller. For some reason, I feel that we have a better chance of finding Bigfoot than we do of getting a female caller to call in and just, you know, shoot the shit with us for a little bit.
Do you think it's going to take us – well, I would assume it's going to take us longer to get a female caller than it is going to be to get a female to like us on Facebook.
Well, we do have Faces for Radio, so that right there – should get us plenty of girls.
Should we start a countdown clock to see how long it is until the first female likes us on Facebook?
I don't see why not.
All right, so we got to remember episode 4, May 15th.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to post it on the page right now that at that time we've started the countdown, or the whatever the hell we're going to call it.
The count up?
The count up? Yeah. The wait, I don't know, to the first female follower who admits to being part of the Faces for Radio Nation.
Yeah, all right, that's cool.
All right, second post live.
Live posting.
I'm getting the hang of this, I really am. All right, so what time is it? 5:37 p.m., so at 5:37, well, what's today's date? Today is the 15th, so May 15th. 5:37 p.m. We have begun the, what are we going to call it?
The count up.
The count up.
For lady.
For the first female fan of the Faces for Radio.
Prizes include Gartee's nipple flashing.
Hold on, one or two?
Both.
Both?
They earned it.
What kind of slut do you think I am?
Oh, they earned it.
Well, they do pay us a nice little VOC check, so at least I can do a show of nipple.
Just a nip. So, I gotta say, ma'am, I think it's really difficult to do all this social media stuff. I mean, I've been doing these podcasts for about 6 years or so. I've done the Facebook pages. No problem, man. It's easy. I've even made, like, counter Facebook pages for other things. Like, there was this time when I used to do this TNA show, and then we would do, like, a TNA recap show. It wasn't a bad show. It was just a terrible subject.
That sucks, man.
And basically, we made a page about this guy who would show up to every show wearing this Hulk Hogan gear with all these Hulk Hogan signs and, like, pro certain people signs. He was so obvious a plant, you know? So we made a Facebook page, Stop the TNA Plant. And, dude, mad people were on top of that page, man. It was, like, a big deal for a little bit.
What happened to it?
I stopped caring about it.
And see, and that's where the problem comes, because really to keep up with this stuff, it's almost like a part-time job. Like, to really keep up with it, because, like, you know, I've done a little bit of research. I've listened to some other podcasts. I've done a little bit of research as far as what it really is to, you know, get on Twitter and to do something like this and push it on Facebook. And really, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And I honestly, A, don't really know if, one, I mean, the time consumption is just ridiculous, and two, if I'm that interested to keep that going.
Yeah, and it's like there's so many other things that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is Tumblr?
We can look it up. I really have no idea. I mean, I know we have Facebook, which to me, for some reason, I feel like getting on Facebook now, we might be completely behind the times.
No, it's still Facebook's is good because everything connects to Facebook.
Okay.
Oh man, Tumblr's a blog website. Man, we could stay off that.
So what about then? I know we got Instagram, which is basically like Twitter without words.
Yeah, it's like pictures, I think.
Yeah, that's all that is, right?
On Instagram, straight flexing. Pop the Molly, I'm sweating.
Woo!
Pop the Molly, I'm sweating.
Woo!
Mama always told me, boy, count your blessings. Man, I could just keep going on that.
You really could probably rap that song on a loop for the next 50 minutes.
We should. We should do a karaoke, an a cappella karaoke one night on the show.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea at all.
No, especially with our voices. Sexified. All right, so we got a Facebook. Dude, I just checked out the Facebook page, and some clown wrote that we need to get a banner.
Well,
does he like us, at least?
He did like us. That's good.
Who is it? Who's the person?
Anthony Michael. I don't know. I'm sure he's a cool guy.
He looks like a loser.
Why? Hey, he's our only friend. Like, let's be nicer to this guy. We need to start being nicer to people is what we need to start doing. Maybe they'll like us.
Yeah, sorry about that. You're the man. You're a really cool guy.
Anthony Michael, we love you. You're not the first female, so we're not going to shout you out on the show, but well done.
But we will say we're done talking to you.
Pretty much.
Oh, shot.
Done.
I can't believe it. Violence in the studio.
Dude, I thought we were in a nice part of town.
We are, but you know, it's a little hood in this room.
Oh, just in the room.
So, the big story this week, Mr. Michael Sam and his foray into professional football. Is that even a word? Soiree?
But
I used an F.
Yeah, I don't think you're using it correctly. Even though I don't think soiree is the right word to use.
His coming out party into professional football?
I see what you did there with that.
Is that offensive?
It may be.
I don't think it's offensive.
As long as Michael Anthony doesn't think it's offensive, I don't think anybody's. I think we're going to lose anything.
Yeah, you know, I don't think. I feel like we should be allowed to make all kinds of like silly jokes like that without it being a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. To be honest with you, like, I really just don't care about the situation in general. The guy can play football. The guy's a beast.
Wait, but I mean, before we get to that, we'll get into that. Because we'll get into that because that's definitely an important thing to talk about. I just think it's so ridiculous that you can't make jokes about any type of group at all. And it's, I think it's like destroying comedy.
Well, I think everybody's just so damn sensitive. And now with these social medias, whereas if I made a joke and somebody across the country heard it, well, guess what? It stayed between him and whoever people he talked to. Now that person across the country can listen to the VOC Nation, hear something the Faces for Radio say, and then hop on Twitter. And next thing you know, it's just a hot topic for everybody to jump on.
But it's so ass backwards, and I think I said it to you the other day, but it's like, back in the day, like, I look at, like, racist jokes as, like, really, as, like, the things that, like, really came off as, like, negative, right? So, back in the day, like, if white people were making, like, jokes about, like, blacks in, like, the 50s up and through, like, 1993, I would say, like, you know, there, it might be inappropriate, but at that time, all that stuff was accepted. Around 1994 and later, I feel like the America really kind of like gelled, and like racism, it's more of like a like younger people get along with races. You know what I mean? Like people our age and younger, it's like there's no issue with race. Like it's just like people meet up, they chill, that's the end of it. So you would think now that everybody's cool, that's when it would be acceptable to make those jokes, not unacceptable. If you really hate somebody, that should be unacceptable. If you just mean it in jest, like Sir Charles Barkley, then it should be acceptable, right? Am I wrong or right?
Well, I think that's the problem, is that we've gotten to a point where people are not able to decipher the difference between something that's said, you know, in jest as part of a joke, or something that's said to legitimately upset somebody. But I think it's sad that something that can make some people laugh, somebody's going to get offended by. And all it takes is one person. And all it takes is one. And then guess what? To not say those things that offend that person, hundreds or thousands of people can't enjoy it and can't laugh.
And, you know, I think it comes down to people being so fed up that other people are offended that they get offended.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I'm an Italian, right? So I was watching this video yesterday on Kotaku, which is a video game website. And I was watching this, the real version of Mario, right? So Mario, it's a funny video. Mario jumps up to the brick, and as soon as he hits the brick, he, like, breaks his neck and, like, falls. He's like, oh, my God, I broke my neck. Luigi, come and help me. And my instinctive reaction was, man, if Mario was Hispanic, they would have never made this video. I'm offended that they made this video. And I really shouldn't be offended. It's a funny, like, jesting joke. Yeah. But I feel like because so many other people and groups get offended about this same stuff, I have every right to be offended about it when I shouldn't. When I'm just saying to you, people shouldn't get offended about stuff, I'm telling you how I am offended about stuff. It's crazy.
I think that might be one of the words in the English language that I think over the last couple of years has been so overused. And it's gotten to the point where I remember at one point thinking to myself how much I hated just that phrase and that word. And, like, when did it become such commonplace? Like, it seems like, yeah, like every day there seems to be something new of we can't be offensive, we can't be this, we can't. We live in an age where you can turn on the TV and have 3,000 channels. You can have AM radio, FM radio, HD radio, satellite radio. You don't like something, you have other options.
I know, man.
Change it. So why is it that something that I may get a hold of or something Mighty might tell me, like you may say, hey, man, this Italian thing. And I'll be like, oh, well, you know what? My initial reaction is, well, don't watch the video. Like, get over it.
Yeah,
but no, but you could come back and go, no, no, no. No one can watch that video because it offends me. Throw a fit about it, and something's going to happen. Like, yeah. Something, some group's going to pop out of nowhere. Somebody's going to say something, and it's going to turn into having to retract and apologize. And it just it gets to the point where it's annoying. Like, at what point do we go with, well, I have freedom of speech? Okay, well, you have freedom of speech.
That's gone. I don't think we do have freedom of speech anymore, because if you say something that a group of people don't agree with, you're bullied into either apologizing or going to some sort of re-education camp or losing your job.
That's just the world we live in, man.
It's a BS world, man. It's ridiculous.
It's sad.
That's why Sir Charles is my hero. That's why I've dubbed him Sir. Charles Barkley ain't putting up with that.
He is kind of old school. I do love his attitude about it.
But he's telling the absolute truth. And if everybody said what he said, look, I'm just making a joke, man. If you're – like, and it's exactly what you just said. If you got a problem with it, don't listen to it. If everybody took that, that would be the end of it. But you got these freaking big money corporations and nonsense. And I'm not trying to get into politics, but it's the truth. You got these big money corporations who are spread all out with shareholders, and they can't upset their shareholders, so everything's got to be PC for in the event that some freaking Eskimo might buy a share of McDonald's. You can't have anyone in McDonald's say anything about Eskimos, and then that's it. And then it all trickles down to everything else.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no way to stop it. I mean, in all honesty, I think that's what I'm kind of grateful about the median we have. Like, I think even though we keep things pretty cool, and I don't think we go too far to really push any buttons other than give our opinions, we really have some freedom. But I'm pretty sure if we keep up at this pace, at some point or another, we're going to offend somebody and piss somebody off. And then we're going to have to deal with the situation, too.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure it'll happen at some point. I don't really care. I don't. If you're listening to this show and you're getting offended about things, you're an idiot. Like, that's the bottom line. We don't say anything in an offensive matter. The only people we don't like are people who take offense to everything.
Pretty much. That's a good way to – I think, and I agree with you. I think the only thing that offends us are people that get offended by things.
And I'm going to be honest with you, buddy. whoever you are that's getting offended and listening. If you get offended and annoy me, I'm going to turn the screw harder. Garcia,
yeah.
You know me pretty well, man.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at, like, if somebody says something nasty to me or upsets me, because I can't jest back. I just attack their soul. It's like
I must take everything.
Yeah, I'm like the Shang Tsung of the radio. Like, your soul is mine.
Like fatality. Matter of fact, that is a warning to anyone who might be listening and may get offended. Matter of fact, don't listen anymore, because if you get offended and give us something to talk about, you will be made fun of, parodied, and just trashed all over the show, and now that we're figuring out the social media stuff, all over the social media as well. So, you know what, man? Let's just enjoy it. Let's have a good time. Let's understand that everything that comes out of here is just in good fun, and I think we'll be okay, man.
Bro, we got a great segue that you created that you probably don't even know about.
Nah, I didn't.
Have you heard about Rihanna and her, like, little news of the day?
No.
Okay.
I love Rihanna.
All right. So this is a pretty good story. So Rihanna has this fan, and she's 16 years old, and she got this dress that Rihanna wore. Okay?
Hold on. She got the dress that Rihanna wore? Like,
not the exact one. She got,
okay.
She got a copy of it.
Okay, gotcha.
A different color or whatever.
Gotcha,
it was
gotcha.
The same dress. And she wore it to the prom. Now, the dress got these big sleeves that hang, like a wizard sleeve, you know? And they, like – she kind of looks like, and I don't want to say exactly what Rihanna put, but that's exactly what she looks like. She looks like the Wu-Tang W, like exactly. Like, that's how it's shaped. And all these people started bashing on this girl on Facebook and, like, Twitter and stuff. And then Rihanna saw the picture and posted the Wu-Tang symbol next to her. And at first I'm like reading it and I didn't see what the dress looked like. And I'm like, man, Rihanna's a real jerk. Like, that's her fan. Like, Rihanna's not even that, like, great looking anyway, man. She got that weird shaped head and everything. Like, who's she to make fun of people? And then I saw this dress, man. And that dress is something hilarious.
Do you have a picture? I haven't seen it.
Rihanna makes fun of fan. That's what I'm going to look up. I'm sure we'll find it.
Dude, but you know what the thing about Rihanna is, man? She seems like a cool chick. Like, she seems like a down girl, man. Like, just somebody cool to hang out with, man. So that is something that would make – that's something we would do.
Yeah.
Don't let me see you wearing some Wu-Tang-looking type stuff. I will make fun of you. You know this.
I can't find it, man. But you got to believe me, man. I saw it today. It was freaking hilarious. Rihanna made fun of some other guy a while back, I guess, on Twitter, because he has big lips. Else. And she put a picture of a leather couch next to his lips.
That's actually funny.
So, man, Rihanna, you're a mean person, yo. I don't feel like I just go out of my way to, like, bash people.
You would.
If I was that famous?
If I was that famous. By the way,
you know what I would do if I was that famous? I'm going to tell you, because it's fantastic. But there's no way out of it. Because if I ever did do this, the company would never take it out. Let me explain. If I was rich and famous, I would wait for a movie like Star Wars to come out, a movie that people have been waiting for like years and finally comes out. And I would buy all the tickets in every movie theater in the world and not let anyone see it for like months.
Dude, you're such a dick. Hold on, would you at least go see it?
I don't care. Maybe, you know, if I really wanted to see it, I got all the tickets.
Dude,
but I don't think it's something I'd go see.
Dude, that'd be funny, though, because if you just went, if you bought all the tickets, let's say you went and bought all the tickets, and then you saw it.
Dude, I'd sue people if I caught anyone, if anyone was talking about the movie. Like, I would sue people.
Then people would be asking you, and you'd be like, I don't remember.
I'd be the only person who could do a review.
And the way you like movies, you'd be like, this movie's terrible.
Suck. You guys don't even want to see it. I'm doing you a favor. Yeah, that's my dream, to one day get famous and then...
Well, hopefully, if you keep saving those VOC nation checks,
yeah, you
it
never...
can happen. And second of all, going back to Rihanna, if she's listening, please don't let what Anthony just said deter you from actually calling in and talking and hanging out.
What about her head?
About anything. Just whatever.
What? I can make a joke, man. She made a joke about all her fans. You look like an upside down pear.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not that bad.
You're beautiful just the way you are.
Exactly. See, we're here to help the ladies. Hey! That wasn't very nice at all.
Ah, that was great. That was a good few minutes of jokes.
It was. It was. I thought that went very smooth.
So, now that we're out of stuff to talk about, I guess we can take a commercial. Oh, wait. We never even got to the Michael Sam thing. We went off track.
Yeah, I was trying to get to it, but...
All right. Take a commercial. On the flip side, we'll get to this Michael Sam controversy.
Controversy. I like it.
You like it?
I do like that.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls
to say any of this
to anyone live. I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Have the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast in the business making town. Hear all about how I make towns and so much more every Monday, right before Raw, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the VOC Nation. Adios.
The Voice of Choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
It's not easy being in IT today. Data is growing exponentially, technology is changing at an accelerating pace, and the consequences of unplanned downtime are more serious than ever. StorageHype helps eliminate these risks by automating all the data protection and disaster recovery for your laptops, servers, and virtual systems through a single provider. StorageHype can help you free up more time, recover faster, and improve the reliability of your backup process. Visit StorageHype.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-VOC-RADIO.
This is TNA Knockout, Madison Rain, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
I like don't even want to come in. I just want to listen to this song. I love this freaking song, man.
We're back. Michael Sam, non-troversy. Let's get rolling, sportsman Gartiz.
All right, the non-troversy. So let's just even start from the beginning for anybody who's listening and does not know what's going on. So Michael Sam had a great college career, defensive player of the year in the SEC, which is basically NFL minor league. Dude's a stud. Comes out as the first openly gay football player. Apparently it's been, it was known in college. According to everyone, he was a great teammate, good dude, not really an issue, but obviously coming into the manly world of the NFL, well, of course, it starts stirring up some controversies and people start trying to make more out of it than what it is. So naturally, we have the NFL draft comes by, last weekend? Two weekends ago?
Yeah, it was within the last 7 days.
Yeah, it was a couple days ago, whatever it may be.
No, it was last Thursday.
Last Thursday through Saturday, okay. And Michael Sam comes out, and Michael Sam gets drafted. So like they do with many players, they have video cameras in Michael Sam's home. He's there with a group of people. He's on the phone with the coach. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Obviously very happy, like any young man who's worked to that goal is, to get that goal. And then gets off the phone, hugs his boyfriend, and then has a couple kisses and exchanges some emotional, hugs. Couple big smacks on the lips, nothing super outrageous. But naturally, ESPN's there, films the whole thing. And so the controversy arises of, was that appropriate?
Now, I feel like I'm missing a major piece of this puzzle. Because wasn't there cake involved?
See, I didn't know about the cake issue till later. Like, the thing I'm talking about was the initial reaction being drafted. And apparently the cake issue incident happened a little while later, where they're basically putting cake in each other's mouths
and
rubbing cake
out
in their faces and then kissed each other to, get the frosting off the mouth. It essentially looked like what I did with my wife at my wedding when she put cake frosting all over my mouth.
Now, what does that have to do with football?
Absolutely nothing.
Like, I get the first kiss, I'd be really excited, too. If you're gay, you're gay. Again, now, would I be wrong to assume that the people who started up this non-troversy are the same people that are pro-gay?
What do you mean by pro-gay?
Like, the people who are, people who are tolerant towards gays. Are they the one that are making this into a bigger issue than it needs to be? By, pushing this Michael Sam thing. And I really think, and before you answer that, I really feel like the media has a big hand in this. Like, I was saying to, on Tuesday night show, on In the Room, I was saying to somebody that it almost feels like ESPN is turning into MTV, where it's like, instead of them showing sports all the time, you're getting, television shows about sports. Like, you're not getting sports. Whereas, you'd have to go to, MTV2 for videos, and now you have to go to, ESPN2. So, I feel like, and I'm asking you, because I don't really know, I haven't seen everything about it. Is it ESPN that's, making this more of a big deal than it needs to be?
No. I think they were very aware of the situation. And like any TV station, you are going to, if you know that there's going to be a controversy or you're going to show something that people want to see, you play it, and then you kind of continue riding that wave. So while I get the initial reaction, that was cool and it was great and it was a heartfelt moment, it was genuine, let it go. I seriously doubt too many seventh-round picks, you have the camera rolling in their house for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes after they get drafted just to see what may happen with this gay couple. Because if they're going to put it on TV and it's going to get the reaction. And, hey, controversy creates the cash. The more reaction, the more people talking about it, the more people pro, the more people against. And then you open up this discussion of the bottom line as people are watching ESPN to get the resolution to the situation. And I think it was just something that was completely unnecessarily blown out of proportion. I mean, it is what it is. It's 2014. The dude was, I had the nuts to get up in front of the world and say, hey, I'm going to the NFL.
And people talk massive crap and they got in trouble, football players, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it goes kind of back to that Donald Sterling situation where it was just ignorance. But like stuff coming out and getting Twitter.
What did they say? Did they say things that were like really inappropriate? Did they say like?
Again, I didn't follow it that much. I'm not on the social media. I don't really know a lot of the details. The one big couple big ones I saw obviously were the one from the guy from the Miami Dolphins.
What
said
he say?
Like, I believe he tweeted OMG, and then somebody asked him, was that in response to the draft thing? And he said it was horrible. So then that guy got like suspended and got sent to like you said, an educational class because you know they have the Dolphins have their own set of issues with bullying and all kinds of other crap going on.
See,
there.
You know why this is BS, and you know what really pisses me off about this whole thing is it's not equal to everybody because. And let me full disclosure before I break into this, so you don't think I'm like an evangelical. I'm an atheist, all right? Like, straight up. It is nonsensical that these people can talk about this guy and get in trouble. And the way people reacted to Tim Tebow and nobody got in trouble for that. It should be one or the other. Either everybody gets in trouble for saying things or nobody gets in trouble for saying things. How come nobody's outraged when Christian people get attacked? Like, why are Christian people, and we're not going to get into this, but I'm just like saying, it's so ridiculous that Christian people, and again, I'm an atheist, get attacked outright in the open in front of everybody, and it's okay. And nobody else can do that. You can't do that with any other group.
Well, I think there's just such a huge following to that Christian group that you mentioned, that's really like a chink in the armor. It's just a dent. Like, it doesn't really affect anything. There's such a huge following that the little bit of negativity just kind of rolls off. And it never really – it doesn't derail the train or doesn't keep it.
I don't think people – I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't think people should get in trouble for saying anything. I just think it should be all or nothing.
Yeah.
If you're going to say things about Christians, then everybody should get it. Like I said, man, we'll say anything about anybody. I don't really care.
Well, and my big thing going back to Sam to kind of wrap that up was really it's called the National Football League, not the National Who You Banging League. All right. Bottom line is the guy can play ball. If he can play ball and get on the field, then give the guy a chance to play ball and get on the field. He seems to be conducting himself very well. He seems to handle the pressure in the situation, which is a huge thing, man. Say what you want about him and your beliefs on the subject, but the dude, like I said earlier, showed huge nuts to stand up in front of the world and say, look, this is what it is, this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do. Love it or, you know, like it or love it.
Yeah, man.
Type of thing. And he's just, you know, and I wish him all the best. I really do. I hope he, you know, can make a smooth transition. He seems to have a decent organization behind him in the Rams that are going to support. They had to know what was going to come out of it, and they had to look at it from purely, hey, the dude is a football player, and the dude can play. If he can play, let him play. The rest of it's completely irrelevant.
Let me ask you another question. You know I'm not a big football person, so I really don't know the answer to this. If he was
a defensive end.
No. Like, he won some award or something, you said before?
I think SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
If you win, it sounds like a big deal. Why would you get drafted in the 7th round if you were a defensive player in the year? Does that have something to do with the gay thing or no?
Honestly, I don't know enough about the subject. Cause, I mean, I love watching the games, but I'm not one of these guys who follows it all year round and really into those kind of intricacies.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you. I wouldn't be shocked if the amount of scrutiny and the amount of media attention and the amount of things that came with drafting him would have played a part in going, you know what, the guy can play, but we also got this guy that can play almost at the same level and is not going to come with this headache.
Well, look what – I don't know if you heard today, but he's getting his own reality show.
Yeah.
I mean, now cameras are going to be everywhere.
Apparently, though, it's not going to be around training camp. Apparently, it's not going to be around the game itself. It's something about him and his life at home.
All right.
Not necessarily around the team. But here's now – and just think
– it's like, what are you focusing on, man? Do you want to be a football player or do you want to be a celebrity? It's like, I get it, man. You got to make your money. Like, you got to. But it's like, if you're saying you want to be a football player and now you're like – you're not even really a rookie. You're like on the cusp of becoming a rookie. You should probably like throw all your focus to like your football career.
Football.
You would think.
But now this brings up an interesting point I just thought about when we were talking about this. What happens when we get into contract negotiations further down the line? Let's say he makes a team. Let's say he plays. Let's say he goes out and demands a certain amount of money. Let's say a team comes back and says, no, we're not going to give you that. Like they would do to any player and say, we're going to negotiate this. What stops one of these groups from turning around and going, oh, they don't want to give him the contract he wants because he's gay?
Nothing's gonna stop a group from saying it. It's bound to happen. The second something negative happens to him, regardless for whatever reason, whether he's getting hit too hard, whether he doesn't make it through training camp, groups are gonna say something. It really matters, in a sense, to what Michael Sam has to say about it.
Well, truthfully, I mean, I think we can go on and on about this topic, but there's way funnier things to talk about and relate to this.
Yeah, you're right. This is like a heavy thing.
Yeah,
we're kind of like a laid-back type of show.
Yeah, I don't really feel like it, but out of everything, there's always something funny that comes out of this. So naturally, like we talked about reactions on Twitter.
We're just so smart that it's like, oh my God, like let's just listen to their intellect.
I don't think we're that smart.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But so this guy named Marshall Henson, who plays for Ole Miss, he's a basketball player. This might be the funniest thing that I've seen. And again, one of these like Twitter reaction backlash type things.
Marshall
comes out and essentially like just comes right at it. And I wish I could find the original tweet. And I can't right now. But the original tweet basically said something about Michael Sam being, you know, this whole thing being disgusting, and that he had little brothers watching the NFL draft, and they had to see that, and it was like this big thing.
Is it
right?
This boycotting SportsCenter till this Michael Sam nasty expletive is off? My brothers are 7 and 11 and saw it! !! Hashtag all caps sickening.
Yes, that's exactly it. Now, first off, before we even get started, let's get down to it. Who the hell watches the 7th round of the freaking NFL draft? Okay? I can almost guarantee you a 7-11-year-old will lose interest about an hour into it.
Yeah,
nobody
man.
Nobody watches this, the 7th round of the freaking NFL draft, first off. So anyway, so
That's what the kids would be complaining about. They wouldn't be complaining about seeing two people kissing. They'd be complaining about still watching the NFL draft.
It's been 4 days. Yeah,
please put on Yo Gabba Gabba. Please.
Anything but the draft.
Like Ninja Turtles, SpongeBob, Rugrats. I don't care.
Turn the draft off. So this guy then comes out and naturally then gets berated on Twitter. You got sports analysts making fun of his basketball game, saying how he's never going to get drafted. The dude just gets ripped a new one, as you would expect. And then, in what might be one of the greatest retracts of a Twitter comment ever, the guy turns around and essentially explains that he tweeted that. And I'm going to read you the tweets. One of my best friends, all caps, who is gay, is about to graduate in psychology and asked me to say these things so he could have responses, .. The point of the study was to see how people react when others say things or act a certain way against another group of people. Thank you. Then in all caps, thank you, Michael Sam, for standing up for you and making this whole project possible, trying to bridge the gap one day at a time, !! I can honestly tell you that was one of the greatest cover-ups in the history of Twitter. In the history of it.
Back in college, I had a friend that was gay, and he made me do this crazy survey.
Dude, get the hell out of here. First off, I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm relatively positive. It's my show, and I'm going to say it anyway, so screw it. That wouldn't be a psychology experiment. It'd be a sociology experiment. All right, to see how groups of people react to these type of situations.
Yes, you are correct.
I thought I was.
I wasn't trying to like be pretentious. I was just agreeing with you.
Again, showing our big brains on the faces for radio. All right, and then he just goes into this crazy cover-up. All right, and it was just the most ridiculous thing. It was like, oh, I'm going to say this because I know people are going to jump on there with me. And then gets completely ripped apart. And then instead of just deleting the tweet like any sane person would do, he pulls up this story who I would still love to hear who the friend – I would love to hear from the friend. That would be great. I would love for the friend to come on and say, hey, man, you're right.
Where's the corroborating evidence?
Now, the only reason that I could say that this guy may be actually telling the truth, that is an experiment, goes back to my original point, to what freaking 7 and 11-year-old watches the seventh round of the draft?
Nobody. Tortured children.
Nobody. But I found this to be pretty fun. I probably found that to be the funniest part of the entire, like, situation.
So, is there an ending to his story, or is that the ending? Like, he just kind of got away with it for retraction? Or did...
Well, I mean, you know, of course, his university has to come out and be, you know, that you know, we don't, you know, it's a disgusting thing he said, and we don't support him, and, you know, just basically the regular politically correct mumbo-jumbo to cover everybody's asses, and then to make sure that nobody gets offended and everybody can move on in peace. And then he kind of just disappeared. He kind of just stopped talking about it. I almost want to follow him on Twitter.
You know, before you were, like, saying how, you know, people are, like, milk these things. Like, people, like, were, like, milking the draft for Michael Sam and trying to get, like, the most out of it and show the most that they could.
Yeah.
Have you been watching CNN at all with Anderson Cooper?
No, I mean, with the exception of the highlights of that Sterling thing.
Dude, he releases parts of the Sterling interview every night. There's like a little part of the Sterling interview. There's more of their Sterling interview than we have show in the history of our show.
That's a lot of Sterling interview. That's a lot of stuff. I mean,
how much tape of Donald Sterling must there be?
Dude, but I mean, truthfully, you can get an 80-year-old person just not stop talking. Like,
you could probably put a radio in front of a talk boy recorder in front of that guy for like hours, and he wouldn't even know it was on. Like, wouldn't you know what it was?
I don't know, man. I'm just kind of tired of the whole scenario. Yeah, I mean, the situation sucks. In a way, you know, it's like the guy's like kind of realizing that this is going to be his legacy. I think it's got to be a real crappy way to go. Like, dude, you live 80 some years, you got cancer, you're about to die, and then the last thing anybody's going to remember you of is going, you know what, you're a racist little bastard.
That's like, probably the worst, like, ending of all that somebody could get. Like, and it's like, You get to the end of your life, and now everybody all of a sudden just flipped the script and hates you.
Yeah, like everybody. Like, I can't walk anywhere without being hated, unless he continues to do that wonderful dye job he did on Anderson Cooper interview. Because I'm sure a lot of 80-some-year-old guys have a full head of brown hair.
He looks like did you see the first Star Wars movie? Not the one with Luke Skywalker, episode one. With,
yeah,
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they were in, like, the sand world Tatooine, and that fat, like, that fat guy with the wings, blah, 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 who, like, sold the kid into slavery?
Yeah, yeah, like the owner, yeah.
Dude, he looks just like that bug thing. The way he sits. Like, dude, the guy sits with his, like, half his back on the chair, and, like, just his shoulders on the back of the chair.
Dude, he's 80-something years old.
So what does that mean? You start slouching?
Probably. The guy can't hold himself up.
Your spine you have no spine anymore.
He might.
That guy's got spine, man. He just talks a lot.
He does. On a funnier topic, though, I was actually digging through Bleacher Report. And did you hear about this Jameis Winston, the guy from Florida State who's a Heisman Trophy winner who got caught stealing crab legs?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, they got him on video now. They released the video of him stealing the crab leg.
Oh, my God, bro. What is wrong with people? Why can't people just leave people alone? That's, like, not something to be proud of. Like, that guy probably hates that.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know what? Screw him for stealing freaking crab legs.
Maybe he's really hungry, man. Maybe he wasn't doing it for vanity purposes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to release the tape. Let's see here. Oh.
Did you find the tape?
I did. It's right here.
Are you going to watch it?
You can watch it if you want. I'm sure it's just him walking out of a grocery store with a box of crab legs in his hand. It's nothing super spectacular. It's not like he tried to sneak it out. He just walked out. Here you go.
Let me see here.
Being said, why you watch that, man? I know I've been keeping you guys up to date on the Washington Wizards' big playoff run. All right, since last time I spoke to you guys, last week when I was calling direct from Parts Unknown, lots of ups and downs, man. lots of ups and downs. Had some really bad games, went down 3-1 in the series, then went out to Indianapolis, where, you know, you'd think that the Pacers could put the series away, and the Wizards come out and play probably the best basketball they've played all year, and end up beating the Pacers by a good 30-some points, and then force a game six. Now, the big problem is, and tell me, you're a sports fan, your team just won a big game seven.
Huge game seven.
Were you guys at home or away?
We were away.
You were away. Does your team play better at home or away?
You know, it depends on the series. The Rangers are really, really good in game sevens. So, like, they're like game seven statistics are absolutely ridiculous. Henrik Lundqvist has a ridiculous, who's the goalie, has a ridiculous rating in the limp-facing elimination games. So, I think it's more of the team right now than, like, in general, you know?
Yeah. Well, the only reason I bring that up is because the Wizards now, they go on the road, and they play an absolute amazing game of basketball to keep themselves alive. And then they got to come back home, hopefully, to win this one and force a game seven. Now, the Wizards have been awesome on the road and absolutely terrible at home. And so it's one of these things that they're coming home to extend the series, and that's tonight, right after the show, man. I'm heading out to go watch it. And it's almost worrisome. What kind of nonsense is that? That as a fan, you are worried about your team playing at home. I don't think I've ever, in any of the sports that I've watched throughout my life, had a situation, and it even happens with the Capitals. It might be that stupid building where they just can't do things at home. They can't perform.
Man, the Capitals suck, man. That's all there is to it.
Okay, fuck the Capitals.
Man, they ain't nothing.
All right, but what about going back to the Wizards?
Well, I don't really know much about the Wizards. I watched the game that I texted you about the other night when we were going back first. That was a home game, though.
You mean the one that were up 19 and then lost?
Yeah, that was a disaster.
But I'm thinking more. I'm asking just more in general. Like, what factors do you think would come in to a team playing so good on the road and then coming home and laying complete eggs?
It's just like anything else, man. It's one of those things where when something happens a repeated amount of times and there's no like set number, people start overthinking it instead of just doing what they're supposed to do. So, like, the way you're talking about it, I'm sure that's the way some of those guys are thinking. Not to as strong of an extent because they're, like, professional ball players and they're thinking about the game. But, you know, there's that, like, superstition factor of, well, you know, we've lost. We keep losing at home, man. What are we going to do? It doesn't matter what the plan is. We got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's how I feel about it.
I mean, I hope next week when I talk to you, man, it's good to go. You know,
so
we're moving on.
You're not like able to sit here and go, the Wizards are gonna win the NBA Finals.
No,
you don't feel confident saying that.
I mean, in all honesty, man, if they were to lose tonight, it'd be a great season. The fact that they continue to win and are playing as good as they are is a complete added bonus.
Cinderella story.
The Cinderella story. Exactly. The big issue, though, comes, obviously, let's say we get past this particular round, which still is two tough games to go, and they haven't really been able to put together two solid games back-to-back. But then, luckily, neither have the Pacers, so, I mean, the Wizards can figure it out and win one at home tonight. I mean, Game 7, that's up in the air. Anybody can win that. If they do get past that, they got the Miami Heat in the next round, man. And that's going to take, like, basically, the Miami Heat bus is going to have to crash, and they're going to have to bring in the replacements for, really, the Wizards, I think, to have a legit chance at winning a seven-game series against that team.
That sucks that the Heat are just that overpowering good, man.
Dude, LeBron James is a beast. Say what you want about the guy. The dude can ball.
You're right. He can, but he didn't win a championship when he was on the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it's because the rest of the team sucked.
Yeah, well, exactly. But Dwayne Wade's a superstar, man. A superstar.
Yeah. Chris Bosh is pretty good, too.
The Velociraptor.
He does look like a raptor. You know what he looks like the remember the Mario movie?
The yeah, like the little head. The, yeah, the little head dinosaur.
Like a little shrunken head dinosaur.
Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh is the man, dude.
He is pretty good.
But he still looks like a Velociraptor. I will get it.
Dude, let's get a quick Facebook check here. All right. Absolutely nothing has happened.
I'll check the Twitter. And we still have seven followers.
Seven followers.
Twitter's better with friends. Import your contacts from Faces for Radio. No, we'll not do that. So I got to tell you, continuing on this sports thing, I said it earlier in the hockey season, and it might be a big jinx, but I don't really believe in that. Like, I have no effect on what's going to happen to the Rangers, so I'm just going to say it. I really can't see, and I made a bet with somebody against the Penguins, I really can't see the Rangers losing four against any team. And when they were down 3-1 Gartese against the Penguins, I was not slightly worried. And you can attest that that's the truth.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I could be wrong, man. Who knows? But I think it's their season, man. I think this is the year that the New York Rangers are going to bring home that pretty, pretty cup.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Hockey, I mean, I think hockey to you is like, well, the basketball is to me. Like, I'll follow it, but really don't know. And obviously my team's not in, like your team's not in the NBA playoffs. So you're kind of over the top watching it. But weren't you telling me a couple of weeks ago, if not a couple of months ago, how terrible the Rangers were this year?
Yeah, they started out. Here's why, man. And it was at the flip of the season. And I'll admit that I said that. But it was at the turn of the season when I started to think this. Basically, the Rangers, since they had years ago, I want to say it was like 98-ish, they started playing this defensive style of hockey where they really wouldn't be all out about scoring, playing an offensive style. And they kept that style up until this year. So when they flipped the script, you know, and started playing this different type of hockey, it was clearly going to take some adjusting on their part to get the entire organization to do what needed to be done to change the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as soon as they hit this like win streak eventually, and as soon as I saw that they hit this win streak, I just knew from there we were good to go.
Oh. That's cool, man. And honestly, dude, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I don't really have a horse in this race. So, hey, man, if it keeps the Faces for Radio Nation happy, go Rangers.
Hey, man, and I'm with you, bro. As long as the Pistons aren't around, I'm all about the Wizards this year.
Yeah, you might as well be, man. Like, and plus you knocked out Pittsburgh, and I can't stand Pittsburgh, man. I really can't. Anything to do with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, man, Crosby and that no handshake thing was real messed up.
Well, and the Steelers, and if it wasn't for the fact that Roberto Clemente played on the Pirates, I think I'd probably much despise everything about that city.
So, we got a big problem, man.
What's the problem?
We were supposed to take another commercial break, and we didn't do it.
Oh, man. I'm going to blame the producer on that one.
Yeah. So we're going to end early, and I'll play the last commercial break until it cuts off.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Like us on Facebook. Our Twitter's there, so I don't have to read the handle anymore. Booyah! And don't forget,
if the gimmick ain't working,
change the gimmick.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle.
Fighting crime.
Woo!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around.